How's it going, guys? Andre, how you doing, man?
Oh, what a day. What a day. My day was stinking crappy. You ever try laying down? Hey, Susan. Ever try laying culture stone in the rain? Yeah, that sucked. That sucked. So someone let me know, because I didn't know that that CHN is doing like a town hall, like a virtual town hall at the same time. So well, I guess there's no so you either choose to watch me or watch them and vice versa. Hey, Candace. So Susan, you asked me about the governor saying for Friday closing restaurants, and yeah, that's not a false rumor. So not surprised we hit that. And stinking, who knows, man? Who knows how long we're gonna be there? I asked a restaurant owner yesterday, an owner of a restaurant in Harbor, just kind of what his feeling was as far as, you know, the restaurants and how many he thought that would likely go out of business because of this. And out of about 20 maybe in the area, he thought there'd be half a dozen or so, you know. And depending on which half a dozen, that could be incredibly noticeable in our community. Candace Michelle, people in Bi-Mart not wearing masks. You know, I'm surprised when I hear that, because I mean, it's like few and far between of people inside of a store that I don't see wearing a mask, like inside of a, you know, especially corporate retail store. I mean, I believe you. I don't see that too often anymore at all. Yeah. All right. So how about we chat about Monday's council meeting. So the only thing really there of interest, I think, half a dozen people not wearing masks, guys. The only thing of interest there at the council meeting was some code revisions, code changes, and the public interest was really about car camping and people sleeping in their car when they, you know, being able to park on a city street and sleep in their car. So the city council did in fact vote to make the revisions. So the code now is more specific about vehicles not being dwellings, and clarified the language at the behest of an attorney that believes that the new language is more defensible in court, you know, more defensible against a challenge or something. There were either four or five public speakers, public commenters that spoke in favor of pretty much, you know, just allowing folks to be able to sleep in their car, citing citing a number of things. You know, one thing, so Diana Cooper and Michelle Carroll from the Brookings Homeless Task Force both spoke and brought up numerous things. Diana actually, you know, stated, didn't give names of individuals, but stated, you know, they're basically someone's background and who it was and their age. And, you know, this is a person that is sleeping in a car right now, you know, sort of deal. And enlisted a bunch of folks and none of them were the homeless folks in the mind of city councilors, where they're just a bunch of drug addict, no good derelicts, You know, she shared true stories of the people that are in a rough spot right now, living in their car. What was the reasoning for the yes vote? Good question, Candace. I'll get to that. Connie Hunter, you know, talked a lot about the homeless and the homeless veterans and a need to have a change of mindset there. And we had a speaker that I don't remember her ever speaking to us before. Let's see. Reverend Linda Lee. She must be, I bet you she's an Episcopal reverend or something. So yeah, I guess there are only four that spoke about the homeless thing. The reasoning for the yes vote. So in thinking about how to share this with everybody, I think maybe what I'll do is, oh, she's at St. Tim's. I think what I'll do is go over and to try to kind of summarize the feeling there of the majority of the city council and what I think motivated them to vote a certain way. You know, again, it's kind of my opinion and my thought, my perception, and hearing what they said, and the motivation of staff and you know, the city folks that actually worked on it and what their thinking was behind it. So again, only my opinion, and this would be one of those times when it's going to sound like I'm speaking for the city, which I'm not at all. I'm just trying to share from my perspective what their motivation was. So you guys could imagine that often, you know, quite often we hear from members of the public about homeless issues and the problems about it. And typically when I hear from a member of the public, and I'm kind of assuming it sounds like when the counselors hear from members of the public, it's usually pretty derogatory against homeless folks, and they're usually stories of just kind of a bad story about what happened to them when they were at Azalea Park. You know, I was there with my kids, and here's this homeless dude, and he did that and this and that. And so that's the preponderance of the stories and the public comment that we hear, and that has been true since I've been on the city council. I recognize that it's probably not the majority of like public comment that we take, like at council meetings, and not the majority of the comments that I get on here by any means. But the emails or the phone calls from just, you know, John and JQ Public, most of the time they're on the anti-homeless bent. So I'm comfortable in assuming that that's the starting point for the council. That's the frame of mind that we come into meetings with, a meeting dealing with homeless. And that, you know, issues arising from homeless is definitely the motivation in seeking those code changes. I would imagine, you know, if the Brookings PD being asked, you know, and being asked, well, what is it that you guys need to help or to solve this homeless problem, to solve these issues of members of the public having these run-ins or whatever you want to call them. And city staff gets that same message, you know, like, this homelessness is a serious issue in our city. The serious issue of homelessness not being the fact that there's homeless, but the issues that arise from having homeless people in our community. You know, that's the deal. And so that's the call that staff and the police department is trying to answer. And I don't fault them for it, and I don't question their motives any more than that. I believe that they feel that they're doing the best for the community and representing the majority of the community's thoughts on it. Yeah. So from their position, it was talked about and reiterated by more than one counselor, the fact that the police department has discretion on how they enforce laws. So from the council's position, I think that they're hoping that people, you know, whatever, little old lady sleeping in their car or people that don't cause any problems and stay out of sight, they're fine. We don't want them to be bothered. We don't want the police department to bother them. The police department can use their discretion. But these problem children kind of around town, onesie twosies, are why we're making this code, or it's why we're passing this code. I heard the mantra of, you know, giving the police department another tool in their toolbox to use. I get that. I do. The interesting... One of the most interesting things to me of the night and most striking after the meeting was the fact that the council seemed to be perfectly comfortable with legislation, or with the council enacting a law that is not going to be followed by city staff. And city staff is going to choose not to enforce an ordinance that we just passed. That to me was surprising, that the council would be okay with that. One, it shows, you know, what does that exactly, what does that say about ordinances that we pass and the importance of them and our expectation of them being enforced? You know, our expectation of city staff getting behind ordinances that we pass and doing the work, man, and enforcing it. Well, in this case, they were okay with not. The what is the ordinance you passed? Basically, Andre, it prohibited vehicle dwelling, you know, sleeping in your vehicle parked on a city street. It's a municipal code. So it's not a criminal code, and it wouldn't be a criminal citation, and sleeping in your car was not criminalized. It's a you know, regulatory code. Much like you can't build a fence 8 feet tall. You can only build a fence 6 feet tall. I mean, that's what that is. It's not a law. It's not criminal. It's not a criminal code. So the vote was 4-1 with me being the one no vote to pass the ordinance. I expressed to the council how many people that I believed were in Brookings sleeping in cars and that have been, that haven't been an issue. And nobody really says boo about, and that what we were doing, rather than allowing for discretion with the exception of the rule, they're doing it completely backwards, where the preponderance of people breaking the rule aren't going to get in trouble, but it is actually it's the select few that it's going to be enforced on, which is a lot like, if you think about it, it's a lot like making a street 25 miles an hour, letting everybody drive 35 miles an hour on it, except for just a few people that you see drive through the road at 30 miles an hour. I don't know. That part's crazy to me. I can get, there's not a city councilor, and I've sat with some city councilors that I couldn't say this about, okay? But there's not a city councilor up there that is not a basically good person. And nobody up there is, in my opinion, like heartless. So I get where, I get a bunch of folks are going to call BS on that one. But, well, I guess it's just my opinion. I get and give props to counselors for responding to citizen complaints and doing whatever they can to fix the problem that's creating those complaints. I think it was a serious missed opportunity to actually do something quite a bit better, something that was realistic, that could be done, and we could have worked through it, could have included members of the public, and come to some kind of resolution that worked, that was safe for everybody, that didn't rely on having a law on the books that was really meaningless, you know, absolutely meaningless, without any intention at all to really ever enforce it on the general public, and just use it just to be able to pin just a few people with. Yeah, interesting deal. How does it feel being the lone wolf? Not so great, right? Holly. Oh, man. So I've actually, I've been the lone wolf. I've been the lone wolf before. Definitely not, it's not something I'm used to inside of the city, you know, and inside of City Hall. Not used to being a lone wolf. And I am, you know, I perfectly realize the fact that I've been there for 10 years and the way the city functions right now and what's happening right now and the people that are in charge right now and the culture of City Hall. I had a lot to do with that the last 10 years, you know, and so it's tough to kind of do an about face and start pointing fingers at city staff or other counselors for doing something wrong when, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, this is what we were all pushing for, myself included. So, lone wolf. I don't necessarily mind being a lone wolf. It's the things. Just a couple of the things that really kind of bothered me, because I do understand the council wanting to respond to people that don't feel safe in the community, that have an issue with people sleeping out in front of their house or whatever, you know. I get that part. But the mechanism that we use to solve the problem, that one had me scratching my head, because it has come up plenty of times where staff and the police department or the building official, development directors in public works, weren't following ordinances that the council laid out and directives that the council laid out. And it's been a big deal in the past. It's been a big stinking deal, man. And here's this one that we throw out there, this blanket ordinance across the community, not wanting it to be enforced. Not wanting to be enforced on the vast majority of those that are breaking the rule. So that's a weird deal. Unfortunately, your perspective is far more humanitarian, so the city isn't making good progress, in my opinion. Not progress for real solutions in solving the homeless issues, in solving homelessness, and the issues between homelessness and a community. No progress at all. I would venture to say that it was quite a step backwards, you know, and mainly because what that just did to any sort of partnership, any sort of community partnership between the city and those advocating and wanting to help the homeless, you know, that's quite a step back. It's interesting to me. It was super, super evident on Monday. It reminded me of just what a powerful, well-oiled machine city government is. And you push a button and the gears start turning, and it's big and powerful and has momentum. And as soon as you push play, it doesn't stop until it crosses the finish line, and then the machine stops. And if you want to try to hold back that machine or something, you need a pretty big stick to jam in those gears, man. So at the end of the day, hopefully the passing of the ordinance really doesn't affect most people, you know. Most of those folks that have been sleeping in their car for a while, that haven't been bothered, hopefully they're not bothered after the passing of this ordinance. I don't think they will be. And you know, hopefully it is just the only people that's going to be used against are just a few folks that I would kind of think that most of us don't want here. I mean, you know, the bad guys, bad people. I don't know how to move past some of that and get that better at all. It was amazing to me that there really wasn't an issue at all with the fact that yesterday's meeting was the first and only time those code revisions have been offered to the public at a time when they can actually comment on it. You know, that's an interesting thing. That doesn't happen often. And why the council didn't heed my comment about that being abnormal with a code revision that's at all contentious, why would we just pass that, open the discussion about it and pass the ordinance in one meeting, you know, with one public notice, one meeting, one chance to get public comment on it. It was pretty extraordinary. Hey, David LaBelle. There are house bad guys I'd like to see go, just saying. Holly Beyer, yeah, I get it. And yeah, I had recently had an email conversation with a counselor about, you know, coming up with stories of bad things that happened with someone that was living in their vehicle and a bad experience, and that's bad. Therefore, you know, that gives me ammunition to want to disallow it. As though there aren't calls for service to plenty of homes in this area, you know, as though there aren't issues with housed and drug addicts living in houses, you know. Yeah, really, really something. So I don't know. I don't know if the council maybe doesn't see or doesn't believe that there are in fact a lot of people on city streets right now sleeping in their car, and that it truly is kind of something that's few and far between, and really only the bad apples. That was really the only thing I could think of when I was driving home last night, was how that was even possible. You know, how a governing board is perfectly okay passing an ordinance that they don't want anybody to enforce, you know, or be so picky and choosy on how a law is enforced that we just passed. Crazy. Didn't Diana tell them the numbers? Yeah, Candace, she did. You know, and if, I mean, she didn't only tell them the numbers, she personalized everyone, and she must have mentioned 15 or 20 different people, I'm not going to do this verbatim. Diana's on here, so she can correct me. But, you know, basically, the people that this is going to affect, well, one's a 65-year-old lady that's on disability and this and that. And another is a disabled somebody else. And, you know, and this is their short story, real short story. I was hoping that would humanize the issue for everybody. But it didn't really stick. A couple things I heard from a couple different counselors showed me that truly they don't view homeless as part of the community. You know, that was an interesting, there were some telling comments there. So on the one hand, it's unacceptable for us, for our community members, to be sleeping or living in fear, okay? On the other hand, we're going to pass a rule that just made 30 people inside of this city go to sleep tonight in fear because they know what they're doing is unlawful. And so they're going to sleep all the way through the night wondering when they're going to hear a tap on the window, you know? Telling, right? It's telling. And, but for the grace of God, I found a home. I know. And that, you look around and it's like, holy smokes, man, have you guys never been poor before? Have you never been up against it before? And I know that a lot of them have. It's just, it's crazy to me. Crazy to me. Yeah, Andre. So a law that makes you criminal overnight, and there's a lot of things. So I spoke about some of the heartache and the hard parts about passing laws in the city. Is, you know, basically there's an issue. We want safe building practices. So we come up with acceptable building practices, and we stretch that over the entire community. There is always, no matter what, there are always these circumstances and these little cases around that just don't fit the mold, and they need some exception, and that is when. We're happy that there is some discretion on the part of city staff. City staff, whether it's the police department or a building official, you know, code enforcement officer. Because we recognize that we aren't all, you know, their circumstances aren't all the same. They aren't all the same at all. So that discretion factor is usually always there. But Andre Bay, to your comment, I'm not comfortable with putting a portion of the community in a situation where they are staying and living in a stage of non-compliance, you know. So they're, like you said, criminal, and so it's not criminal. But it's definitely putting them in the spot of non-compliance, which obviously puts a finger on them, you know, puts Big Brother's finger on them and keeps it there because they're out of compliance. So guess what? Anytime you do anything wrong, you raise your voice to me, you question me at all, you know, I'll actually enforce it. Well, I can actually enforce this code. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me to say anything that could even kind of be perceived as not supporting the Brookings Police Department because I do, and it's full. our department is full of like good and decent people, and that's why there are people allowed right now tonight sleeping in their car on city streets, because they're police are good and decent people. No one becomes a cop to just go and bother homeless folks all night long, right? Yes, intimidation, the thumb, yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I wasn't surprised at the outcome. I was surprised at a few of the things that I've mentioned. I was surprised at being perfectly okay with really not engaging the public, you know, much at all with it. Not really even it's one thing to be actually proactive and like going out and seeking public input, and it's another thing just kind of laying back and waiting for it to come. But even laying back and waiting for it to come, there needs to be like ample opportunity for it to come, right? And I was struck at that. I was struck that they were okay passing an ordinance that was controversial, which did have some opposition, and they were okay just passing it in one night. You know, that wasn't normal to me. In my mind, that wasn't normal. So, anti-homeless will be the calling BPD for the slide of things now. Yeah, they already are, Holly. People call Brookings PD for anything homeless for the slightest reasons. Yeah. I don't know. So I'm thinking about, you know, moving forward in the future, how it'll get better in the future, and what can be done, what I can do with that, what I can do to encourage more public participation in things. And actually, there's a big difference between just allowing a time for public comment and actually like listening and actually, you know, hearing and taking comment from the public. It's a big difference, right? So I'm trying to think about that and moving forward, because I got a couple years. One thing that I know doesn't work is fighting, you know. There's no one sitting up there that is weak and timid, and so if someone wants to fight with a counselor, they'll fight back, and no real good comes of that. So I'm left with trying to admonish and encourage culture change. That's the only thing I can guess. There probably was, you know, if 50 people had shown up, there would have been a better chance. Brookings Homeless Task Force and the Reverend showing up didn't do it, you know. Emails, I don't know how many emails everyone got. No one brought it up during the meeting. I got three. And so it would have been, it would have been nice seeing so many Facebook comments and knowing how important this is for some people. I'm surprised there weren't more people there last night. And I'm surprised that we didn't receive more emails than what we did. Unless they weren't getting sent to me and only the other counselors. So I don't know. I don't know about that one. Get read into the record. Yeah. I don't usually do that. I usually won't read stuff into the record. I don't know. Yeah, tough one. Tough. I've seen what happens when you actually truly have an odd man out on the council, and just and really what comes of that. So that's not really that's not an option for me necessarily. You know, moving forward, that still needs to be one city council. Yeah. Just sad. I know, Holly. I know. I'm sitting here racking my brain on how to say things because, there's no way that I could say things that counselors won't take as some strong slights, you know. not that that's the worst thing in the world, because after all, I answer to the public, right? Not necessarily a city council. You know, I'm not held to account by my peers. I'm held to account by my constituency. But I want to work with them, and I actually want to make things better, and not just have shouting matches or arguing matches, you know. But you should read it in the record, Jake. Mine get read in the record at county meetings. Yeah. I'll talk about that another night. Okay. All right, guys, that's it. Maria, yeah, you can still go to council meetings because of COVID. Yeah, you can still go. Chairs are spaced out, and we have had meetings where there were enough people that some people had to stay out in the hallway, and you just kind of rotate people in and out. So you can still come and say your piece. Okay, guys, I'm out. Today's Tuesday. I'm going to see you at 6 o'clock on Thursday. All right, I gotta run back, and I want to see that CHN town hall thing. All right, guys, have a good night.